Unit 18. Sports. Number 1. Listen and answer the questions.
Hello, and welcome to today's You and Yours. On today's program, we look at children who are trying to be champions in the world of sport and the pressures they can be under to win, win, win. Now, I spoke to Alan Baker, the former British athletics coach, and he had this to say. Well, the problem is that you want to find these children at quite a young age, to train them and motivate them as early as possible. At that age, they don't have social problems. You know, they don't have boyfriends or girlfriends. So they give their sport the whole of their life. But they're so young that they can lose their childhood, and they're adults before they're 16. But of course, they're not adults at all. Physically, they can be quite developed, but emotionally, they're still children. Everybody's looking for the new young star of the future because there's a lot of money to be earned. Tennis is one of the sports where youngsters can play against their elders with more than a chance of success. In America, there are tennis schools which accept children from as young as 9. So from the age of 9, a boy or girl is playing tennis for 4 or 5 hours every day and doing ordinary schoolwork around that. I spoke to the team manager of the English Lawn Tennis Association, Pam de Grucci.
You see, we've already seen 2 14-year-old American girls, that's Tracy Austin and Andrea Jaeger, playing at Wimbledon. And now, both at 18, they are already showing the pressures on their bodies and their minds. And people are beginning to question whether this is a good thing for children. A 14-year-old just can't cope with the pressures of Wimbledon. The tournament, the Wimbledon crowds and the press reporters. Well, I say to my girls, stay at home, stay at school, do the things that teenagers like doing. If you like swimming, well, swim. If you like going to dances, just go. And if when they're older they'd really like to be a professional tennis player, well, they'll be a little older than the Americans. But there'll be better people for it, of that I'm perfectly sure.
Pam de Grucci thinks that young players shouldn't be allowed to become professionals until the age of 17 or 18 at least. I asked her what was responsible for the pressures on the young players. Was it the money that can be earned, the parents, or perhaps the children themselves?
Oh no, it's the parents, without a shadow of a doubt. They want to push their children. I get letters from parents saying, my little Johnny enjoys playing tennis all day and he'd like to learn only that and be trained by a professional coach. And quite frankly, I just don't believe it.
But what about the youngsters themselves? Robert, a 100-meter and 200-meter runner, gave me an idea of his training program and his own very simple way of avoiding trouble. Well, I train under a coach for 3 days a week and then decide how much running to do. If I've trained hard, well then maybe I run 5 miles, you know. If not so much, then 8 miles. Well, of course, I'd like to go to the next Olympics and represent Great Britain. And of course I'd like to win a gold, but there are lots of other things I like doing with my life too. I play in a rock group, and I'm also a keen photographer. Well, I suppose for me the most important thing is enjoyment. If you win, you're happy, and if you lose, it's the same. I mean, if you start getting upset every time you lose, I think it's time to stop. Are the sports stars of tomorrow, and good luck to them.
Number 2. Listen and match the numbers with the pictures. Well, I've been playing it since I was at school. Since I was quite young. Because my dad was always very keen on it and he used to give me lessons. And then at university I joined a team and we used to play quite a lot. It's quite fashionable at the moment, actually. All over Europe it's becoming more fashionable and it's often difficult to book courts. You've got to get there a week before. I like it because it requires a lot of stamina. You've got to be fit. It's constant running right the way through, and it doesn't take a long time. You can take off an hour at lunchtime, go off, play, have a shower, come back, and it's all over with. And you've done a lot, and it's not a lot of standing around. It's movement all the time. You're often absolutely exhausted at the end, and you can't really play for 2 hours at a shot, although some people do. It's usually for quite a short time.
I think I've been playing now for nearly 40 years, ever since I was a little kid on the beach at Blackpool. And it's always been my great passion in life. When I watch a game, I appreciate the athletic skill of the players, the tactics of the manager or coach, and the thrill of the uncertainty. Just not knowing how the game's going to go. Even when a very strong team's playing a very weak team, there's always that possibility of a surprise, of the unexpected moment changing the game.
Well, I've been doing it every winter holiday since I can remember. I love doing it because it's a skill that improves every time you do it. It's fast and it's exhilarating. And although it's really cold, you can still get a tan when you do it. Of course, the scenery is beautiful. And it's really nice when you're tired to go and have a drink in a bar afterwards. Of course, the problem is that it's expensive. You have to buy the equipment. The instruction's expensive too, and it's really dangerous. You can always break a leg doing it. But apart from that, I really like it. Number 3. You will hear three people talking about their favourite sport. Match them to the relevant pictures below.
Rope jumping. Rope jumping? Jumping rope is an activity any boy or girl can learn to do. You can jump alone or with a partner. You can also help turn a long rope for many others to jump over, one at a time. If you jump alone, you will need a short rope, which should be just long enough for your height. Try ropes of different length until you find the one which fits your size. A clothesline rope makes a nice jump rope and can be used because it is clean, smooth, and not too stiff, and can be cut into different lengths. A rope should be turned slowly. It must also be turned high enough to let you jump freely and safely. Turning the rope freely and safely requires careful timing. In rope jumping, timing means turning the rope slowly enough so that you can jump over it at the right time without it striking your feet. You will notice that when you jump rope, you breathe faster and your cheeks have a healthy colour. But if you jump too many times at first, you will get too tired. You must learn when to stop for rest before you jump again. As you practice, you can increase the number of times you jump without resting. When you are using a long rope, two pupils hold the ends. A long rope can be 10 to 15 feet long. The rope is turned slowly by two pupils. The others take turns jumping. You run in when the rope is being swung in the direction away from you, so that it doesn't strike your face. You must learn to judge when to run in. Notice that good rope jumpers do these things. Jump on their toes, bend their knees, use their arms to help them keep their balance. You can test yourself in rope jumping by trying these tests. 1. Jump correctly a certain number of times. 2. Jump correctly a certain number of times on the left foot and then on the right foot. 3. Jump correctly with your arms crossed. 4. Change feet on each correct jump. 5. Try all of these tests, time them, and record the number of jumps done correctly in 1 minute.
Number 4. Listen and fill in the following notes.